TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, among others. They'll do all of that, so you can do literally anything else. You have better things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. Let TruGreen take care of all the hard work it takes to get a great lawn, while you take care of everything else on your to-do list. Get started today by visiting TruGreen.com. Because we all love a beautiful lawn, but not all the work that it takes to maintain it. So, you do you. Let TruGreen do your lawn care. Visit TruGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed. You can trust TruGreen to give you the best lawn because they're the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. Visit TruGreen.com today. That's TruGreen.com.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your mega preview pod for this week's Genesis Invitational. And joining me to break it all down, the coach is here. Coach, welcome back. You've paid off your wine bet quickly. That is much appreciated around these parts. Good to see you.
There was no way I was coming on the air today without that bottle of wine being in Mark's hand by the time that we came on the air. So I'm good. I'm good.
That's actually the reason Greg isn't here.
Right. We've banished him.
Yeah, he's gone.
Speaking of Mark, that's Mark Immelman, who is bundled up. Mark, are you in an igloo? Where exactly are you coming in from here?
You know what? Some of us have to work for a living. We don't get to podcast the entire day. And I was out giving golf lessons and working with my Columbus State golf team in the afternoon. And you know that storm that rumbled through Carl's neck of the woods? Well, it didn't storm as badly, yeah, but it is frigid out, and we had a lot of rain. And so I'm just cold still, to be honest with you. I've taken the scarf off, but I'm still chilly.
And that right there is Kyle Porter, KP. I was just going to assume you guys were without power. It seems like Texas is getting smacked in the face right now. How you doing?
I'm good. We actually do have power, but a lot of our friends and neighbors have not. So we've been kind of having people in and out. I woke up this morning and it was Ricky Fowler's career major total degrees outside. And then it rose to
zero.
It rose to Jordan Spieth's career major total by like 9 a.m. So it's been chilly. We're up to, I think we're about up to Nicholas. Yeah, we're at 18 degrees. So
well, for me, it was a good 9-hole score. That's kind of what the temperature was for us.
awesome. We're going to jump into everything, storylines, best bets, one and done for this week's Genesis Invitational. But I've got free stuff to give away, and we're giving away subscriptions for a year to Sportsline. It's the award-winning picks. It's the patented Sportsline model, and it's easy to enter. All you have to do is leave a 5-star review in Apple Podcasts on the First Cut. Tell us a player that you think is going to finish inside the top 10 this week, and leave us your Twitter handle so that we can get in touch with you. The caveat as well, make sure you follow us on Twitter so we can send you those DMs when you win. Coach, Sportsline continues to rack up winners, don't they?
Well, I'll tell you what, right now, it doesn't matter where it is, whether it's a First Cut or the Early Edge. And we're also starting extra episodes of the Early Edge. In fact, we did one with Tom Fornelli with just Champions League action. And, of course, he hits a plus 320 hit with PHG this afternoon. It pays to be a Sportsline member. It really, really does.
And if you win the contest, you don't even have to pay for it yourself. You get it for free, which is always nice.
You're damn right. It is
the best price tag. Storylines, gentlemen. This is a star-studded event. The lights shine bright on Hollywood. Only two players outside the top 10 in the official world golf rankings are going to be absent this week. That's Webb Simpson. It's Tyrrell Hatton. Tiger's not going to be here. I don't know if he's actually on site. Yeah, is he going to be there?
He's
hosting, and then Daniel Berger withdrew on Monday to continue to vibe after his victory. Mark, Mark, you'll be on site, right? So you are going to be rocking and rolling with, no?
No.
I'm sorry. I thought you were headed out.
I've got the week off. You're going to hear the other Immelman on the golf course there with Daddy on the weekend. So, no, I'm back home. That's why I'm as bundled up as what I am.
I was wondering if you were making the quick trip back. I didn't know what was going on. Now it makes a lot more sense. But this is, absolutely stacked field, Mark. We get John Rahm. We get Dustin Johnson. We get Justin Thomas, Rory McIlroy, and no shortage of storylines that we're going to jump into. But this is one of the strongest fields we've seen in quite some time.
Yeah, and just like you guys, I'm excited to sit on my couch on Saturday and Sunday and watch a little on television and just watch the whole thing unfold, because there's so much to love about this tournament. And the field aside, I think it's the perfect canvas for these guys to show off their skills, because Riviera asks every question. It poses the complete examination of a golfer's skill, technique, and then mindset, and you got to drive it well around there. You got to move the ball in both directions. You got to be strong to play out of that Kikuyu rough, and then you got to have an element of imagination to you because of the greens, the way they tilt, and the influence of that big, the huge valley that this golf course plays down and through. So it's the ultimate test. I remember the first time I went to Riviera. It was one of those spots where you've imagined what it was like for all of those years. And when I got on the grounds, and I didn't go through the clubhouse, we go through the workers' entrance by the television compound there. And I just walked out there, and you look up to your right-hand side and you see that iconic clubhouse and the first tee. And then you see the first hole and then the driving range right in the middle of the premises, which is kind of crazy with those big fences down either side. And then just walking along those holes down through the valley over there was incredible. And obviously I strolled down to number 6, the par 3, with the bunker right in the middle of the green. And I was like, wow, this is legit. It sort of lived up to all my expectations. So ever since then, it's been one of my favorites.
If you ever get a chance to step foot at Riviera, it is, 18's got the natural amphitheater. 6 has the bunker in the middle. 10 is phenomenal. The putting greens, that's my favorite part, Mark. I mean, you are watching these guys putt. You're 3 inches away from them on the putting green. It's unbelievable.
Well, and if you do manage to somehow get in the clubhouse, I mean, it is riddled with history in there. All the pictures of Hogan and Snead and Nicklaus, and it's just a who's who inside there. And then, of course, all the Hollywood glitterati and the picture of Jonathan Coachman on the wall over there. And for me too, to just go, and a lot of folks say this, but like Pebble Beach last week, and I'm fortunate to be able to walk along fairways where legends have played, and to go to Hogan's Alley. I mean, with me being the golf swing junkie that I am, it's a special spot.
It certainly is. And the biggest of all studs, Dustin Johnson, is going to be making his first appearance since winning in Saudi Arabia, KP. And this guy, you've been kind of trying to put into perspective a little bit of how good he's been. Just how good has Dustin Johnson been? It's kind of hard to wrap our brains around, but here we go again. He enters as the favorite. He's 5.5 to 1, thanks to our friends over at William Hill. And this is a place that he's had plenty of success at.
Yeah, since August 1, he's had 7 top fives, which is just it's insane. And if you look over the last, I've got it pulled up right now, the last 3 months, he's almost 3.5 strokes gained around, and the next best guy in the field is Cantlay at like 2.5. So he's been right. I mean, it's just I think what's interesting is we think about all these guys that are playing great right now, Rahm, Rory, JT, all these guys that are really thriving, maybe not in the micro sense, but in the macro sense. Like Rahm is like right in the middle of what's going to be his best golf over the course of his career, I think. And DJ still just toasting everybody. And I think in that sense, we sort of group them all together. DJ's just way better. And that doesn't mean that he's going to go down as the better player all time than Rahm or Rory or any of those guys. But right now, if you kind of pull back the parameters, of the last 6 months or 12 months or whatever, I almost feel like we underrate the run that he's on, and the run he's been on since what, 16, 15, where he just rips off 3 a year, four wins a year. Like it's nothing. And it makes you wonder, could he get to like 5 or 6 a year? He's already got 1 this year, in Saudi Arabia. So I'm super interested by his season because it's just always so easy to envision him winning, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 times in a year.
I think easy is a really good word, Coach. I mean, Dustin Johnson makes everything look easy. There's never a time where I'm like, oh, like is this round, this bad round, is that going to impact DJ? Nope. We saw him go, what, 80, 80, 78. And then, you know, before a win, bookends that with two wins. I mean, he's unbelievable. He sees the ball. He hits the ball. He doesn't overthink it. And he just makes golf look easy.
When I was in college, I played college basketball. And I had a really great career, but I had to work really, really hard to be really good. And it used to drive me insane to play against the great athletes that made the game look so easy, that come down and just rock the rim. And I would have to have a breakaway in order to dunk. And that's how I compare DJ to these guys, that behind closed doors, they've got to be incredibly frustrated because they're all working incredibly hard. They're all putting in the time and the hours, and they're being successful when he's not around. But if he comes into a tournament, you got to believe they're sitting in the clubhouse going, damn, what are we going to have to do? How good am I going to have to play? Because when he was in Saudi Arabia, most people didn't even watch the tournament because it was at, you know, 1 a.m. But he played as bad as I've ever seen him. Well, he putted as bad as I've ever seen him play.
It was atrocious.
In his career. Atrocious is a great word. But yet he still beat everybody there. And most of the studs from the PGA Tour were also there playing. So I think that shows how good Vegas thinks he is, because they think he's 2.5 times better, according to the odds, than anybody else. It's crazy. If you put money on Dustin Johnson this week, you may be the dumbest golf bettor, despite all the things he's done the last 6 months, because there's just no value there. At plus 550, that is insane in the world of golf betting when there's 120 guys in the field. But that shows how good he has been.
It's a Tiger number.
I'm just busy changing my betting card after Coach's observation.
if you really want to look at the 2008 season for Tiger, his betting odds, he would be like plus 110. It was basically him versus the field.
Really?
Absolutely. Yeah, I tweeted it out a couple of days ago. I'll have to go back and check it. Yeah, his 2008, which is when he won, reliable data for.
And he won half his starts or more in 2008, because he only played like 9 times or whatever.
That's right. That's right.
And apparently there was at least one dumb better coach, because the biggest bet that William Hill has right now is $1,000 bet on Dustin Johnson to win that pays out $6,500. So there's at least one person who plunked down $1,000. That's as of right now, as we record, the biggest bet they've taken on.
There's a lot of smart people out there, because that's really, relatively speaking, that's not a big bet. You know, that's not considered a big bet. So if that's the biggest bet they've taken, then at least people are listening to the smart people like us on these shows because they're not laying down the money. Maybe they will tomorrow. But here's the crazy part, is that you could wait till Saturday night. And if he's got a one-shot lead or tied, you could probably still get plus 150 or two even on Saturday. So why would you bet it on Tuesday? You wouldn't.
I completely agree. You're not going to get an argument from me on that. I can't touch that number, but it's very likely he wins this golf tournament. Maybe not as likely for Rory McIlroy to win this golf tournament. Hasn't hoisted a trophy since 2019, but he has been elected chairman of the Player Advisory Council. What this means, Marcus, he's going to serve a one-year term, and then he's going to become a player director of the Tour Policy Board for 3 years. I don't really know what that means. I'm just assuming he's kind of like, you know, we don't have a union in golf, right, like other sports do, and there's union reps in the NBA and the NFL. It just feels like Rory, who has already been the voice of kind of a lot of his players and a lot of his peers, now kind of in a more official role in that.
Yeah, and this happened after that rules kerfuffle down there in Torrey Pines. Can you believe it?
Yep.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. Look, Rory is exactly what you think he is. He's an upstanding guy. He's a thoughtful guy. He's not afraid to speak his mind, which in this sort of role, you're representative of basically folks that are elected because of who they are and what their standing is in the game and how they respect the game of golf, and certainly and how they will advocate for their fellow members on the PGA Tour. So it's a role that's been occupied by sort of the who's who of the game, the Davis Loves, those sorts of guys. So I wouldn't say I'm surprised. You know, he's still very young for this role, but he had been involved on the players' the committee anyway. So it makes a lot of sense, and he's deserving of the role. Yeah, he really is.
Certainly over the last, I don't know, KP, I feel like you track this a little bit better than the rest of us. Over the last couple of years, Rory, to me, has gotten a lot more outspoken. He has gotten a lot more transparent. He's gotten a lot more candid, whether it is on the course issues, whether it is off the course issues. Rory just seems to be the guy that everyone kind of defers to, or at least that's the way that I see it from the outside looking in.
Yeah, I've been giving him some reading material for our book club that he's been kind of, you know, studying up on.
I kind of yeah. believe that.
this is just making official what was already unofficial, which is that Rory is kind of running. I mean, think back to the Players Championship last year when he was this voice that it was like, oh, I guess that's what we're doing. Like, which in a player run organization, whether you agree with that, the way things are structured or not, like that's a very loud voice, whoever that leader is. And I think what's super interesting is he's got a lot of, this is probably the wrong terminology, but I'll use it anyway. He's got a lot of conflicting interests here in terms of, I mean, think about his role on the European Ryder Cup team. That's a European tour run deal. And so there's just, he's like sort of got like his presence everywhere, which is fine. Like, I think more Rory is almost always a good thing, but it's just something to think about as you kind of hear him talk about different issues that might come up. Now, maybe that means that maybe this simply means that the European Tour and PGA Tour are going to kind of be melded more closely together, like we saw at the end of 2020 with that announcement, the coalition or whatever, the alliance, whatever the thing was.
Right.
But I am interested to see sort of how that goes. But in terms of like cachet and, you know, weight, like to throw your weight around, like I don't know that there's somebody that players defer to more than Rory. I mean, think about what he did at Portrush. Remember when he missed a cut there and then he like breaks down? And I remember JT said something about like, this is like, this guy's the man, you know? And that's JT. He's like the number three player in the world. And so I think that he has respect from everybody because he's respected everybody. And I think that's a big deal.
The point about having as you put it, and I don't know a better way to put it, KP, like a lot of conflicts, that might be a good thing, coach, right? I'd almost prefer that. A guy who kind of has his ties to TaylorMade, ties to distance, ties to equipment. He's got ties to the European Tour. He's obviously got ties to the PGA Tour, as opposed to having someone who's just a singular, like, let's head in this direction. Because I think that one thing would help me. Rory kind of has his hand in everything. That might be good for a voice of the players.
I think, Richie, that's a great point, because he can't just go into anything in any scenario and say, this is just good for me,
right?
Okay, because it's got to be good for, because he's going to have people in his ear. He's going to have people chirping. That's just the nature of the business. But I think what we've seen, and KP just made an incredibly eloquent point, is that no matter what the scenario, good, we've seen a lot of good, bad, we've seen him break down, and ugly. And we've seen that too, and that happened at Torrey Pines, and he very easily made it through that scenario, right? So there's nothing he can't handle. And I think we're going to see him really be able to bring a laser focus, because he is so popular, to this role. And I think also because of the European ties and because of the company ties, you're going to see him do a lot of good things that help everybody, not just the player, but the companies, but the tour, but the European Tour. I think it's a great call. And he's one of those few guys that I think could have all these irons in the fire and not have it affect what the laser focus of what right should be, if that makes sense.
Yeah, certainly a great advocate for the game, and looking forward to seeing what comes next. And what comes next for the number six ranked player in the world, friend of the pod, Colin Morikawa, Mark, is a new putting grip. Danny Rappaport of Golf Digest reporting this morning that Colin Morikawa is going to go with a, quote, saw putting grip. Let's start with this, Mark. What is a saw putting grip?
That's when, if I'm getting this correct, that's when you hold with your lead hand, regular, and the bottom hand is held kind of like fingers across the shaft, and you're resting it on there, so it sort of looks like a saw when you swing it back. No, it's more over the front of the club, so that your fingers are going in the same direction as a stroke.
Sounds like Tommy Fleetwood.
Yeah, kind of like, yeah, a lot of guys used the method. You know, it was, I think.
Oh, there you go. Producer Jacob. Is Producer Jacob just the best? That's what he's going to do? I got to change my pick to win if that's what he's going to do.
but that's not Morikawa. But anyways, I mean, this is the kind of thing you'll see a number of guys using it. It sort of started as a claw, you know, back in the day, Marco Marin coming to use something of derivative of this. So it's everyone just trying to get themselves to a place where they're eliminating as much activity in the right hand and right wrist through the stroke as possible. Because if that right hand gets a bit too electric, that face tends to point all over the show. And that's when you'll get a little inconsistent. And like last week, this golf course is demanding on the greens and making short putts. You will see some misses on Sunday afternoon. So this is just a way for him to gain a little mojo on the greens, because we all know he can hit it. And when he putts well is when he wins.
Well, Mark, you nailed it right on the head, because apparently he made this call after discussing it with Mark O'Meara himself, and he has gone. There you go. So he's gone to this Saul putting grip. KP, I want to bring you in on this, but are you good? Is that Rory texting you about the book club? Good. Okay. Just making sure.
I was looking at this saw grip. It's insane.
It's crazy.
Is this
what
we want golf to be?
If I might real fast before you go ahead, Carl, I'm so much more on board than this thing than jamming the thing into your lead forearm, yet we're not allowed to anchor the putter, and everyone's up in arms about langer and whatever the case might be. But when you stick the thing against your forearm, no, I'm not so happy about that deal. But this, you know, if you want to hold it in different ways, cross hand, you know, fingertips, whatever the case might be, I'm cool with it, and it's helped a lot of folks.
Here's where I'm at, Kyle. He's 190th on tour in strokes gained putting. There's not really much more you can go. Yeah, there's only one direction here. Try whatever, right? Figure something out.
The problem is, like, he already won a major putting the old one. I don't know. I don't get super worked up about the putting stuff, because I think it sort of like comes and goes. And Morikawa was not great because he's a great putter. He's great because he's one of the, you know, as Mark has talked about, one of the three best ball strikers or iron players in the world. And so I don't know that it really makes a ton of difference for him week to week, but it will be interesting to, you know, kind of follow along. I don't know if it'll be fun to look at. Wait, so Mark, are you out on, like, do you think that what Bryson does should not be allowed?
I don't like that. No, I mean, look, you got to play within the rules. That's what people do. And as a professional, you understand what the rules are, so you can operate within them. And but if you're going to tell me that anchoring a putter against your chest is not allowed, or your chin, or whatever the case might be, or your belly, surely anchoring it against your forearm is a way of anchoring it. So I don't know, because they got after Bryson because he couldn't go side saddle. A la Sam Snead, you know. So
I always forget about that.
Yeah, that's the forgotten thing about Bryson.
I don't know. I'm just not a fan of the in the left arm thing. I really am not. But a lot of people use it, and Webb Simpson's fantastic with it. Bryson's great with it. Matt Kuchar.
Kuchar does
the originator of the thing. But I'm not hot on that so much. But as far as putting grip changes go, honestly, yes, it's happening constantly, whether it's left hand low, whether it's a change in grip size, grip weight. Sometimes the players put weight in the handle to counterbalance the club. So they're always looking for that different feel that's going to stabilize the club face so more. Because, like I've always said, I know it's not the most important statistic in the world according to the First Cut podcast, but if you want to win, you've got to putt on throughout the week, and especially on a Sunday.
So, two things. One, I just read, I just finished Brody's book, Every Shot Counts. And what Mark was saying about, like, putting overall doesn't matter, but for guys that win, it matters a ton. And statistically, he kind of bore that out. And I thought that was super interesting, because Mark always talks about that. And it's a good point. Like, in weeks you win, it, you know, putting accounts for, I think it was like 35% of kind of what you do in a winning week. Two, I was going to ask Mark, so Phil is the guy that we talk about with the putting stuff a lot. He's like, you know, putting right-handed, putting on his head, like just all this just nonsense. And I'm curious if, because I wasn't covering golf. I've only been covering golf for 8 years. Was this always a thing with him, or is this a new, like, I'm just going to try all these different things? Has he been tinkering with his putting throughout his career? Because I look at somebody like that, I'm like, if he tinkers with his putting and he wins 44 times, then I don't care if anybody else does it, but is that a new thing or is it an old thing?
The truth about Phil is when he wasn't winning major championships, he was always good for one or two short misses when it meant something on a Sunday. You know, he was in contention so much. That's why I had so many runners up. A runner up finish is unlikely a function of an errant tee ball that costs you a double. That's once in a while. It's the function of missing a putt that you should have made. And all the runner-up finishes he had were because he didn't make the putts that meant something. And then, and Phil's always been experimentational. He still is. I mean, he had two drivers out last week in Pebble Beach. And he's always looking for that sort of edge because that's how his mind works. He's kind of like Bryson in a way, I guess. And then I thought it was poetic that eventually when he cracks the major seal, eventually, it's with a sliding downhill putt that is hasty down that hill at Augusta National. And he buries that thing just toppling in the side door because the pace was perfect. And so when he made that is when he started to – his win at the PGA that came after that, I think it was Bolter's roll, had a phenomenal up and down from short right of the green. A big pitch shot over a bunker to a few feet, made that to win. So when he began to putt well, he began to win the biggest stuff. And then when he had that sort of evergreen season a few years ago, he putted unreal. He was like in the top 10 on the tour. And now this year, everyone's talking about the fact that he's hitting sightseeing balls all over the show. He is putting horribly. If you look at his numbers, I mean, they are way down there in the rankings as well. So in the end, to Brody's point and to the point that I sort of make, you're not going to exist on the PGA Tour as a journeyman who putts well. You've got to be able to hit it. But if you're a hitter, a McIlroy, a Phil, a Dustin, a Justin Thomas, Jordan, these sorts of guys. The separator is how you hit your irons, the distance you hit them, hole high, and you got to make putts. You have to make putts. There's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
That is, I love it. I absolutely love it. And Mark, it was a professional segue to Jordan Spieth. Thank you for slipping him in there because now I get to chat about him. And coach, we've got back-to-back top five finishes. We've got back-to-back 54 hole leads. Is this good or is does that instill confidence to be a back-to-back 54 hole leader, but you fail to close them out? Or are you disappointed because you didn't hoist a trophy on Sunday evening?
I have two different answers. I would have told you that after the waste management, it would have hurt him confidence-wise as far as finishing the job. But I think last week that when you watch a Daniel Berger shoot a 65, I'm not so sure what Jordan could have done short of shooting a 67 to tie him to win that golf tournament. And I thought he was incredibly positive after the round when he said, "This is as confident as I've ever been since, you know, in the last 3.5 years, of course." So for me, because of doing it the second time, I think that helps him coming into this week, and he's hitting it great. He's putting it great. And I think he just needs to realize now I need to take it into Sunday. And that was never really his issue, is closing out a golf tournament. But now he's got to finish. I think he's going to have a really good week. And if I'm voting, I think it helped him doing it two times in a row and not closing, as opposed to hurt it. If he wouldn't have done it at Pebble Beach, I think he would have some scar tissue from Phoenix. But I don't think that he does.
All right. Well, he's going to get a crack at Riviera again this week in a star-studded field. And gentlemen, it's 2021 and it's looking up. New beginnings means new opportunities to grow your business. And if part of your strategy is adding new members to your team, then LinkedIn Jobs is the place for you. It finds the right person quickly to make things better. Your first job post is free. Remember, this is an active community of professionals with more than 722 million members worldwide. That's a lot. And getting started is easier than ever with new features to help you find qualified candidates quickly. Just post a job with targeted screening questions and LinkedIn will quickly get your role in front of the most qualified candidates. Manage job posts and contact candidates from a single view on the familiar LinkedIn.com as functions are streamlined onto one simple screen. And now you can do all of this from your mobile device. Love it. No matter where the day takes you. That's how LinkedIn Jobs can help you hire the right person faster. So when your business is ready to make the next hire, find the right person with LinkedIn Jobs. And now you can post a job absolutely free. Just visit linkedin.com/first. That's FIRST. linkedin.com/first to post a job for free. Of course, terms and conditions do apply. Gentlemen, super contest. We got to go through our picks. We got to go through our one and done. And we got to talk about who might win this golf tournament. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners. Did you know that more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain? Those numbers do not add up to me, and I know it can be confusing, the biomechanics of the foot, the bones, the muscles, everything in between, but solving foot pain is simple, and that's where Superfeet comes into play. These Superfeet insoles go into your shoes, give your feet comfort and support where they need it the most, and redistribute the forces that reduce both stress and strain through your entire body, not just your feet. Insoles have been phenomenal for me personally, and they are clinically proven to decrease fatigue, reduce injury, and improve comfort. I can attest to that myself, especially when walking a lot of golf holes that I play. So if you feel good, you play good, you look good, everything works out from there, and it starts from the bottom up. Visit superfeet.com and enter promo code FIRST at checkout for 15% off your first order plus free shipping. It's a really fine line creating workout clothes that are great in the gym and workout clothes that are also great to look at outside the gym. And Vuori has threaded that needle. They are designed to work out in, but they don't look like it. They don't feel like it. And it's incredibly comfortable stuff, whether you are running, training, swimming, doing yoga, running errands, lounging around the house. It really doesn't matter. These are versatile clothes. You'll find me often in the men's Sunday performance jogger because I like the jogger situation that goes on down at the bottom, but they're very comfortable. They've got a little bit of a shorter inseam, so they're not as bulky as other pants or other joggers that I have seen out there, and I've really enjoyed how they work both in and out of the gym. So now here's what you can do for our listeners. First-time purchasers are getting 20% off. All you have to do is go to Vuori.com/first. That's Vuori.com/first. Again, not only will you receive 20% off your first order, but enjoy free shipping on any US orders over $75. And here's my favorite part, free returns. Yeah, go check it out. Vuori.com/first and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing. And we're back. Our little super contest where we have been keeping track of our betting cards. We've been keeping track of our best bets. We've been keeping track of everything. I shouldn't say we. Producer Jacob keeps track of all of this. It's unbelievable stuff. We've been doing pretty good, guys. So our best bets are a 30% ROI, which I don't know about you, Coach. I'd take a 30% on just about anything any day of the week.
All day. That's a pretty good number right there for us. I like it.
It certainly is. And we're going to start with Coach's betting card first. And I think producer Jacob has a little special. Hey, look at this. Wow. Little special surprise. Producer Jacob, if you're not watching on YouTube, you are missing out because we've got a brand new graphic here. And Coach, I see three matchups. Yeah. Adam Scott over Hideki Matsuyama, Cameron Smith over Siwoo Kim, and Patrick Cantlay over Justin Thomas. Let's start with those three, but because one of them, the Cantlay over Thomas, is your best bet, and I want to hear why.
Because Cantlay has been playing well. The last two tournaments, he's played great, top five finishes, a second and a third, and I just don't think Justin Thomas is dialed in. The last round that we saw him, he was, and I understand that his father passed away and his head wasn't in the right space. But I think Cantlay's just better than Justin Thomas right now. He missed the cut overseas when he went, came back, didn't play all that well, I thought, from tee to green. And I think you have to drive it incredibly well to play at Riviera. And I don't think he's driving it great. I really don't. So to me, Cantlay over Thomas is easy. Siwoo Kim is on the end of a long run, and I think he falls off when he plays a lot of tournaments in a row. And then you're going to give me plus money with the defending champion over Hideki. I'm taking that all day.
Plus money on the defending champ. You back it up with a Patrick Cantlay top five finish at 3.5 to 1. You took KH Lee as a top Asian at plus 450. And then look at this, a little KP action. You take Jordan Spieth to win at 33 to 1, and you back it up with a Jordan Spieth top 20. So fair to say you're a believer.
I am a believer, and a part of me wants to be able to celebrate more than KP if Speed is able to get the job done. So this is as much about thinking Speed could win as trying to be a bigger part of the show. So
unless you have a party boat on like docked on Spieth Island that I don't know about, there's no chance.
It's gonna be big. There's no chance. All right. But I do. In all honesty, I think the last 2 weeks is not an aberration. Maybe 1 week would have been, but 2 weeks in a row is not. And I just thought the favorites, the odds were too low for me to even worry about it. So why not take a stab at somebody over plus 3,000 instead of a DJ or a Xander or a Rory at plus 11, plus 12? There's no value there. So to me, this was right in the sweet spot.
Can't wait for the day when Jordan Spieth wins and about three dozen bottles of champagne show up at Kyle Porter's doorstep. That will be, I can't wait for that tweet. It's going to be phenomenal.
You know what? I just want to see what Kyle's going to be like when Jordan does win. I mean, can you imagine the barrage of Twitter stuff coming out?
The first tweet after Jordan Spieth, after the ball hits the cup on the 72nd hole, I need that. Just inject whatever that tweet is right in my veins. I can't wait for it.
I already know what it's going to be. So
he's planning the winning call.
Oh, he's like Jim Nance. You already have it down. You already have it written down.
Sitting in the drafts right now.
Seriously though, you know what the best hour of 2 hours of golf Twitter ever was all time? It's not even close.
What?
The last 2 hours of the 2017 Open.
Yeah.
When
trying
he's
to get the number and
off the planet, Greller's running up the hill. He makes the eagle on whatever 15. That was the, because it's like the Open's always the best for that kind of stuff, and that was the most compelling event I've ever watched.
Oh, absolutely love it. We're gonna switch over to my betting card here, producer Jacob, and I've kind of followed a similar path as Coach, where I've stayed away from the top of the board, but I do think a lot of the win equity lies with some of the bigger names. So Bryson DeChambeau at 16-1 is an outright. Colin Morikawa 33-1 as an outright, and Tony Finau. I'm on board, KP, with your kind of analysis of this, which is like, shoot a 68 on Sunday. Most weeks you get lapped. At Riviera, you shoot a 68, 69, 70 on Sunday, and you're in contention. You might win this golf tournament. So if there's a place for him to break through, I think this is it. And then I've opted to allocate the majority of my funds into three separate matchups. Adam Scott over Hideki Matsuyama. So Coach and I both picking on Hideki a little bit. Same matchup there. Hi, Kyle. Yes.
Well, real quick. Well, do all that. I want to ask you a question about the third one.
Okay. So Abraham Answer is my best bet over Matthew Fitzpatrick. Abraham Answer to me is just an absolute grinder. We've seen that since the 2019 President's Cup. He doesn't care what the field is. He doesn't care about what the course. He's going to grind for me for four rounds. And then the one that I think Kyle wants to talk about is Rory McIlroy in a three ball. This one was interesting. I stared at this one for a long time, but it's Rory McIlroy in a three ball over John Rahm and Dustin Johnson, which is a little bit scary, but McIlroy's got the longest odds. He's plus 225 KP. Do you like it or do you hate it?
Well, I love Rory at plus 225. I mean, he's like a top 25 player ever, which is, it's a right. joke to get him. The problem is the other two guys might be ahead of him. But the bigger problem for me was if you're taking him here, why not just take him at like 12-1 or whatever he is to win the tournament? Because I mean, aren't Rahm and DJ going to be in the top, I don't know, five or eight anyway?
Yeah, I probably should have at least taken McIlroy in a top five situation or something like that.
Okay,
because
that makes sense.
Because you're right. What is the floor for Rahm and DJ at this point? It feels like ninth, right? Like something crazy like that. So yeah, that is probably something I should have backed up with something at longer odds, because if he beats these two, he's probably in contention. That's a very valid point. I had one other point I wanted to make about this card, but I don't remember what it is. Answer over Fitzpatrick.
I'm a little surprised that Rick, you would let Kyle say anything about your betting card after what he turns in every single week.
We're gonna need a couple pages.
What are we doing? What are we listening to?
No, just wait. Just wait.
I'm sure. I can't wait.
I am always open to constructive criticism and getting better. And I'm now ready for Kyle's betting card.
Oh my goodness!
And it is a sight to behold, gentlemen. Wait until producer Jacob pops this up. It is something you've never seen before from Kyle Porter.
Is it one page or two? Did it fit on one page?
It's a half page.
Look at this. It's four bets.
Gee whiz, Kyle. Were you short on time? You were short on time.
I've been involved in some snowball fights and there's been a lot going on here.
Yeah, I mean, there's only four, KP. Talk us through them.
Yeah, so Xander top 20, I just think we're underrating his consistency right now. And it's not a good number, but I don't really care just because he's been just lights out, top 10, top 10, top 10. Adam Scott over Hideki. Scott's just so good here.
Wait, did we all take that? That's three for three.
Three for three.
Why didn't I see that one? I jumped over that.
That just jumped right off the page.
Which guarantees Hideki wins this thing.
For sure.
Like, we're all 100%.
But if the path for Adam Scott or the reasoning is just horses for courses. There's three of them, right? It's DJ Bubba and Adam Scott at Riviera and maybe Rory a little bit, but that to me just stuck out. John Rahm over DJ. I liked this better than the Rory DJ Rahm one because I didn't want to get two of those guys involved against one. That feels problematic. So to get the number two player in the world at plus 120, even though I don't know, DJ shot 80 twice in the same tournament last year. Like that could feasibly happen. And Rahm is obviously always playing well. And then my big one is Hovland over Finau. And Hovland, I didn't realize this. His finishes, like his last five event, he's got dating back to Mayakoba, he's got four top tens in his last five. If you look back at the last, let's see here, I've got it pulled up. The last 3 months, the top guys from tee to green on tour, one DJ, two Joaquin Niemann, who I'll talk about in a second, three Rory, and four Victor Hovland, five Patrick Cantlay, just to kind of give some context for the company that he's keeping from tee to green. So I don't love the fit with him at Riviera, but he's hitting his irons really well right now. And he played great at Torrey. So I'm in on him over Finau.
I'm in on him as well. We'll get to that in a second. So he has 22 cuts made in a row. 19 of them are PGA Tour events. There are two guys on the PGA Tour with longer active cut streaks. Would we like to take some guesses at these?
One's Rory.
Number one, Rory. He's made 25 in a row.
And one guy left.
He is at 21, this golfer. 21 cuts in a row.
Tyrrell Hatton?
Nope.
Webb?
Not enough PGA Tour. No, Webb's at 13. Webb is sixth on the list.
Okay.
He's on Kyle's betting card. We're looking at his
John Rahm? Name. John Rahm?
Nope. Xander.
Xander. Oh.
Xander. There we go.
Xander's at 21. Rahm's fourth. He's at 16. These guys just they find a way to get to the weekend. They find a way to cash those checks. You gotta love it. Mr. Immelman. You, by the way, hold on. I want to make sure I get this number right. Mark, your season. Okay, hold on. Let me make sure I get this right.
I had a horrible week last week, by the way.
I was looking at the wrong number.
Disastrous.
Oh, I was looking at this. Your best bets are the best in the group. 81% ROI since we've been doing best bets. So you are killing it in that category. And we're going to pull up your betting card right now.
Well, I'm weird that that's true. And I was looking through the stuff and I see my return on all of the bets is like 34.5% as well. And then I'm listening to you guys going, well, I'm hedging my bet with this and the odds just weren't great on this guy. And I'm going, what on earth? I don't know. I don't understand a word you guys are talking. I just look at the field. I look at the course. I look at who's playing well. And then I make picks. And,
hey,
and,
Don't worry about us, Mark. You're winning the best bets and you're winning the one and done. Do not listen to us, please.
I mean, it's what you do is a real art, and I'm still really green at this sort of stuff. And like, I've been so boring, I've put five bets in every time. So I break the 100 units into five. So it's $20 a go. And I had the luxury of watching Patrick Cantlay from the front row seat for 36 holes last week. And it was so easy looking. And yes, he didn't win, but it was so easy looking. And the guy didn't look like he could shoot over 70 ever. And even when he did shoot 70, whatever the final round or the Saturday round was, it should have been better because the speed was just off because of the way the greens hadn't been rolled in the morning. So when I see Cantlay going back to a place that suits a ball striker that can move it in both directions like he can, he's from Southern California. Hey, he played college golf just up the road a little bit. So he's familiar with the surrounds there. And I saw the boost there at 18 plus 1800. I was like, hell, I'll take a flutter over here. I think Cantlay is already won in California. And I think he's another win in waiting right now. As far as the top South Africans go, I think there's only three of them in the field. And Charles is a great ball striker. Brandon Grace played okay last week, but hasn't been playing very well. And Dylan Fratelli is stuck in Austin in the snow, so I'm not so sure what he's up to.
That's a good call. Yeah. What is he up to? I know
he's practicing from inside of a – he texted me. He's practicing from inside like a studio. So I was like, well, I'll go with Charles. Rory in the top 10 is kind of – you can set your wristwatch on that sort of a thing, especially around here. And then Adam Hadwin, I've made some bucks with him, so I'm going to keep going with Hadwin as the top Canadian. And then the one that's jumped out to me was Group C with Sergio Garcia. He's plus 400. Help me with who's in that group.
I have it.
The way the guy's been playing, and Riviera is, sorry, it's Hogan's alley, but it could be Sergio's alley too, because just because of the way he strikes it. And everyone's going to have Riviera sort of mitigates putting skill to a certain extent because of the slope in the greens and the bumpy Paunia greens late in the afternoon. So everyone's going to miss short putts. So I feel like that sort of that removes the separator between Sergio and other great ball strikers. So I'm like at plus 400 to win that group. Sign me up. I'm going for that. Definitely.
Here is the group. It is Group C on William Hill. So Sergio is plus 400. That is who Mark selected. There were others in that group are Scottie Scheffler, Bubba Watson, Cameron Tringale, Will Zalatoris, and Cameron Smith. Again, it's Sergio.
Wow.
4-1.
Wow.
In Group C.
Yeah, wow. It's a beefy group, and there's some good-looking players in there, and guys that'll jump off the page at you. But Sergio has been sharp-looking.
He has.
He's got a little spring in the Spanish step a little bit, which I like.
There are two guys in that group I'd be very, very, very scared of. Read them to me again real quick.
Ready? It is... Oh, I got it right here. Okay. Scheffler, Bubba, Tringale, Zalatoris, Smith. Cameron Smith are the other
Sorry, guys. Three. Bubba always, no matter where, when he comes here, he plays well. Scheffler, And then the third one too. I don't know why my brain is not working. Tringale is a guy that I like a lot this week in head up matchups. He's been playing really, really good. Played great last week at Pebble. So I like him. I think he's under the radar right now.
You know it, but I'm going to be okay because Cantlay is going to win.
You'll be fine.
I don't know if I mentioned it. Adam Hadwin is Mark's best bet, the top Canadian at plus 250. So that's the best bet. Want to make sure I call that out. Okay, gentlemen, I want to turn the page to – actually, before I do that, we have Greg's betting card. It's 9 picks. Producer Jacob's going to tweet him out from the First Cut account. So if you want to look at Greg's betting card, make sure you follow us on Twitter. And I want to turn ahead to the one and done, and I'm pulling up the standings, and we'll work our way up from the bottom as we usually do. So just to recap, Coach, 1.62 million. You are coming off of a week where you chose – Sam Burns, you got your 30,000. You used John Rahm before that, Hideki the week before. Again, because you came in late, you got a lot of tools in the tool bag. Where are you headed?
I was foolish last week. I played Cantlay and Spieth in a to win, but I didn't use one of those two in my one and done. That's stupid. If you're gonna play somebody to win, then clearly you want them in your one and done. So this week I'm doing that. I'm gonna take Jordan Spieth as my one and done this week. Because I don't want to risk him losing his game again. I want to get a big check from him when he's playing well, so he's my guy.
That might be the first use of Jordan Spieth. I'm scanning very quickly. I think that is the first use of Jordan Spieth by any of us in the one and done this year. And it goes to Coach. Coach.
Thank you. Thank you.
There. Producer Jacob at 2.2 million. We move up to KP. Kyle Porter at 2.8 million. You're coming off a 13th place finish from Kevin Streelman. You got 456,000 from Tony Finau a couple of weeks ago. We're at Riviera. Where are you going?
Well, I don't know. I always stress about this pick so much. I want to take DJ, but then I also want to take him at Kiowa and Augusta and Royal St. George's and, you know, every
can
place.
Can only play one of those?
Three of those. You know who I might go with?
And get three penalty boxes and you'll be good.
Yeah.
We'll get producer Jacob to change it to a three and done.
I might go with Joaquin Niemann.
I haven't used him yet.
Goes T2, T2 in Hawaii, or maybe solo second T2. And he hasn't played since. And the way he hits it, you know, Mark was talking about moving it both ways at Riviera. I don't know what his course history. I had it pulled up earlier. I don't have it in front of me right now. But it just, I love the way he kind of fits in at a place like Riviera. And I haven't used him yet. So I don't know. That's sort of the direction that I'm leaning right now.
That makes me next, 3.1 million. I'm leaning towards Victor Hovland, basically for all the reasons that Kyle mentioned earlier. I mean, just an absolute ball striker. The short game is much improved. I don't think that, you know, some of these guys, they start making bogeys, they start going in the wrong direction. Things get a little hairy. He just smiles and moves on to the next hole, which I like. And I haven't used him yet. And I think that there are probably, I think there's 10 or 12 guys in this field that are, like, those are the cream of the crop. I think Victor Hovland falls into that category as well. So that's where I'm headed. Greg is at 3.7 million. We'll get his pick at some point. And then Mark, 4.3 million. You've got a $600,000 lead over Greg, and you are coming off of Francesco Molinari and John Rahm in your last two picks.
Yeah, Coach, I just want to remind you, nine tournaments until Augusta National, and apparently you're going to suck me in by the Masters. Just we'll start the countdown.
Only 2.7 million behind.
I've got big plans for Hovland, I'll be honest with you. But I'm saving him for concession, I think, because I believe he played in the Division One National Championship there. So it's a new golf course, and so having a little extra insight might be a good thing down there. Jocko Niemann, same thing. I'm looking down the road for him. And Jordan Spieth as well. I'm sort of looking at Jordan and thinking the Valero Texas Open the week prior to the Masters, if he goes and plays, might be a good deal because he's played there as well. This week, I normally have two folks I've always got my mind on. Last week, I was sort of that way with Spieth, and I went with the wrong way. But this week, I'm really high on Patrick Cantlay right now, but I'm vacillating with Adam Scott. Scotty is the kind of guy where I could use down the track a little bit. Cantlay is too, but there just seems to be, Coach, you said it, guys playing well, and someone's playing well for a while now. All the events in California, Cantlay has been like a banshee, man. He's been just unshakable. So I'm strongly in the Patrick Cantlay camp right now.
Well, I will warn you now, Mark. Use him, because you used him at the Shriners.
I could have just let you do it
and take the zero, but you used him at the Shriners. You got 190,000 for him. It was a good return. I would recommend going another direction this week.
That was diabolical, Rick.
You know what? But you're a scholar. You're a gentleman. You paid your bet quickly. Both you and Coach, you're high in my estimation, so I appreciate that. So look, it's probably looking like Adam Scott, unless I have a moment of inspiration tomorrow.
All right. And I will confirm you have not used Adam Scott. He is available.
That was great.
All right, gentlemen. So we're going to tweet out our cheat sheet. That's going to have our sleepers, our top 10, our pick to win. So make sure you follow us everywhere. Anything else? This was the 25-year anniversary, KP, of Happy Gilmore. I saw a little Happy Gilmore content out there. Adam Sandler can still take the shot. He can still do the Happy Gilmore swing. Some good stuff going on.
I'll be interested in Happy Gilmore whenever Bryson does it in a tournament. But until then, Bryson, he's alluded to it, and not out of the question. The USGA is going to have like their own like Bryson division for the next 20 years where they have to just make up all these rules that, that like people can't do because Bryson's trying them. We haven't talked about Bryson at all.
If they changed the Phil rule, you know, the Shinnecock Phil rule where you'd had enough and he went and hit a moving ball because he figured he'd take the penalty over letting the ball roll off the green again.
That was not good. That was nonsense.
I don't think that rule's been addressed. I really don't. Huh?
What's the actual rule?
He just got penalized too, I think it was. Someone's going to have me on social media right now. But I thought it was instant disqualification, but there was just a penalty. And it turns out he would have hit that thing up and down the hill for the rest of the afternoon. So he was like, whatever, I'm out.
The low-key thing about him hitting that moving ball is he almost made that putt. He lipped it out. That would have been the greatest accomplishment in golf history. If a putt was rolling down the front of the green, he smacks it while it's moving and he makes it, it would have been the greatest shot ever. I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah, I need to get with one of the rules guys and ask if that rule's been changed because it's something I'm not entirely sure about right now.
We'll have a Phil Mickelson section. We'll have a Bryson DeChambeau section. Patrick Reed section. It'll be loads of fun. Gentlemen, that'll do it for the Mega Preview Pod for the Genesis Invitational. Thank you, as always. Producer Jacob, working hard on the Mega Pod. Yeah. Thank you very much. The Coach, who you can follow on Twitter at The Coach Rules. That's Mark Immelman, who you can find at Mark_Immelman. That's Kyle Porter, who you can find at Kyle Porter CBS. You can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.